Good morning. Our guest speaker this morning is my friend and brother, Sammy Berry. I'm so glad that Sammy, along with his wife Renee, can be here with us this morning. Sammy is the preacher as well as one of the elders over at the Dallas West Church of Christ. And Sammy is my brother because of Christ. He's my friend because of Botham Jean. I've gotten to know Sammy over the past year from being a part of a group of preachers from black and white churches that have come together to encourage one another, to learn from one another as we pursue unity and racial reconciliation within the body of Christ. Sammy's humility, strength, and passion for justice, mercy, and grace have left a lasting impression on me. Several months ago, Sammy invited me to speak at the Dallas West Congregation's homecoming celebration over the course of a weekend, and they were wonderful hosts and were so hospitable and welcomed me and welcomed Heather in their midst, and I had a great time preaching to them. I've learned a lot from Sammy already, not only from my one-on-one encounters with him and groups, but also watching the way he has handled himself in the media, and the way the Dallas West Church has led our city through some very difficult times over the past year. And I know I'm going to learn more from him in the future as our friendship deepens. And I also know you're going to learn a lot from him this morning as he preaches God's word to us. So Sammy, I invite you up and I want to pray for you and pray over you and then turn you loose to preach the word here. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we are so thankful that we can be here today as the body of Christ. And we are especially grateful that Sammy and Renee could join us today. And I pray this morning that you would use Sammy's voice to speak your word to your people. And that he would clearly articulate the words that you have put on his heart and that we most need to hear. And I pray, Lord, that you would open up our ears and our hearts so that we can hear what you have to say through Sammy. Pour forth now the gift of preaching through my brother and give us the gift of listening, all to your glory, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. I want to say thank you to Wade for those very kind words that he had to say about me. I'm also glad that my wife, Sister Berry, is here to hear him say those things. And so anytime I get in trouble at home, Wade, I'll call you. And I want to say thank you to Wade did an outstanding job when he came to Dallas West a few weeks ago to speak at our homecoming, and we really appreciate him. I want to also say thank you to the Preston Road congregation. When we were putting together our racial unity summit back in May, earlier part of this year, Wade and Heather and Preston Road were one of the first congregations that we heard from to assist us with that event. I want to say thank you to all of you. I want to say thank you for the opportunity to come this morning. We had a great time in the earlier worship period. And so I suppose, as Paul Harvey would say, it's time for page two now. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the Acts of the Apostles, chapters 3. And I want to use verses 1 through 6. And then we will get into our lesson this morning. Now Peter, and I'm reading from the New King James Version. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, "Look at us." So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And as it has been previously announced and shared, this morning for the next few minutes, I want to use as my subject, and I want to talk about simply this: listening for questions or searching for answers. On September the 6th, 2018, my life and the lives of many others was impacted and changed in ways that I did not really and truly fully understand and appreciate at the time. Botham John was shot and killed in his apartment while eating ice cream, and it became a very high profile case. He was black, and the officer, the off-duty officer that shot him, was white. And I want to also say, as I get into this, that I am not anti-police. We have members of our congregation who are police officers, and I appreciate the work that police officers do. But the death of Botham pulled me into a realm that I had never entered into before. Most of my life, I looked at social justice issues and things like police shootings, things like that, from afar. I reacted like many of those did in the text here that I'm reading from this morning. I just passed right on by as they went into the 3 o'clock temple service. I did not have time to get involved in issues like that because I didn't really know, I didn't really understand how it impacted me. But after Botham's death, I received many, many calls. Some people were critical of me. Others were supportive. I received voicemails. I received emails, Facebook posts, and hearsay messages from all over the U.S. And many people said to me, "Sammy, Brother Barry, what are you going to do?" They also made statements like, "Something has to be done." But my problem was, because, you know, this is something that they don't teach you in the work of the preacher class, how to deal with an issue like this. My problem was I didn't really know how to respond. But I then, however, realized that I could no longer be silent on social justice type of issues. Why? Because people were looking at me. Another story that I want to share with you, a little different, but will bring us into the text here. Earlier I mentioned that my wife and I, we've been married 40 years. We celebrated 40 years of marriage this year. And part of our celebration, we took a trip, a cruise of the Mediterranean, and we visited Vatican City. And on the second day, we went there to the Vatican, and I saw something there in the Vatican City that shocked me. I was surprised because I saw beggars, people who were begging, and they were asking for help there in the Vatican City. And I thought to myself, and I remember commenting to my wife, how can this be? The Catholic Church is one of the most, has more financial resources probably than any other religious organization in the world. Saw a man dressed as a priest walk by. The lady who I saw begging approached him, and he waved her off. There was another lady dressed as a nun, and when I saw her, I thought about Mother Teresa, and I thought, surely this lady will have a solution for the beggar. But she didn't. She waved her off. And I was telling this story to someone else about my experience there in Rome, and they said, well, Brother Barry, what did you do? And I said, well, when in Rome, do as the Romans do. So I just kept on doing what I was doing. But it really bothered me to think about that was going on there. But when I got to thinking about it, we have the same issue right here in our city, in the city of Dallas. We have people who are homeless. We have people who are crying out and who need to be made whole. But the problem is everybody is passing them by. We have young people in our schools, and we have individuals in our community who need help. They're crying out for help, but everybody is passing them by. A few weeks ago, a young lady in the congregation who's actually raising her brother's son. The brother has passed away, and she's taken the responsibility to raise him. He's 5 years old. She responded to the invitation when I preached, and she wrote on the note, pray for the young man. He's 5 years old, and the other day he got into a problem at school. He kicked a little girl, and he broke the finger of the school nurse, and they had to put him in handcuffs. At 5 years old. And I realized that was a situation that I just couldn't stand by on the sideline and do nothing. So now I'm trying to get involved. I visited the school a couple of times. The school has called me. And I'm trying to work with this young man because what he's crying out for, you see, he doesn't have a father figure at home. He doesn't have anybody to help him tunnel his anger in the right way. He's looking for answers. His issue is, where's my dad? Where's my mom? And so he needs people like me to get involved in his life. Well, what's going on then? What's going on in the text? What was happening in Vatican City? And what's happening right here in our own backyard? We have people like the little five-year-old that's searching for answers. But the problem is, we have those who are listening for questions. But it's just not enough of us that are listening for questions. Which realm are you in? Where do you see yourself? Are you searching for answers? Or are you listening for questions? When I was in Rome, I was no help to anybody. Because the whole time I was there searching for answers. Where can I find some water? They said, no, it's aqua. It's not water, it's aqua. Where does Chris Columbus live? Give me directions to the... No help to anybody. Because I was searching for answers. In our text, we have a man who had been lame from his mother's womb. In fact, in Acts chapter 4, verse 22, we find that he's over 40 years old. And when I got to, by the way, when I got to thinking about that, I said, well, he was alive when Jesus was on the earth. The other thing that I found interesting about him, he went to the gate of the temple, but he never went inside. That lets us know that much of our work is not so much done here inside the temple, if you please, but outside. So this man's whole, think about this now, think about it. His whole life, he has to find someone to take him wherever he went. Searching. Which four are going to take me today? Searching for answers. Searching for solutions. And he had to do this every day. And when he got to the gate, his next question was, after he tried to receive alms, how am I going to get back home? And when he gets back home, his next question is, who is going to bring me back to the gate tomorrow? Searching for answers. When he gets there, they lay him down at the beautiful gate. And he must have said, look at this great edifice. Look at this. And who knows, maybe members of his families were rock cutters to help build the temple. Who knows? The gate is beautiful, and he says, all I need is a few alms. Can you imagine what it must be like to have to depend on somebody else for everything that you do in your life? Somebody had to bring him. Somebody had to take him back home. Then his mission was not over because he wants to get there. And why does he want to get there? Because it's an activity center. It's where people are. They're coming to worship. They're coming to praise God. He's coming to ask for alms. And a lot of church people are going in and out, and all he wants is just a little bit of help. But what's happening? All the people, they're passing him by. And do you know why? Have you thought about, well, why is it this man, he's here with these seeking for answers? Why is it that they're passing him by? Well, do you know why he's not raised enough money to buy himself a handicapped chariot, if you please? All of the people who are passing him by, most of them are searching for answers, just like he is. Most of them have good feet. They can walk anywhere they need to go, but they're lame, not physically, but they have some other lameness about them. They're lame in the way that they approach life, the way they think about things. You remember in John chapter 9, you remember in the story of the man born blind, you remember the question that they asked Jesus? They said, "Lord, who was it that sinned?" Remember that? That this man was born blind. So sometimes we're lame in the way that we think. Sometimes we have finance issues. Our finances are lame. If I were to show you my financial statement today, you'd cry. You'd see the lameness that's there. Some of us are lame in our relationships. We don't know, because nobody ever talked to us about it, how to be the father that we should be. Some of us have mother and daughter issues, because no one ever helped us with it. Some are lame in what they teach, and others have a lame faith. Their faith will get them to the door of the temple, but never get them inside. Their faith will never push them along as far as they need to go. Some are lame in their service. They're lame in their worship. In fact, they don't care if they worship or not. They're lame in their praise. But is it okay if I share something with you right here? I have some lameness about me. Well, I've already talked about I talked about my financial statement. But I've got some lameness about me, and each and every one of us, there's some lameness about us. For me, where it comes from, if you can go back to the year of 1970, I'm about 13 years old. The reason I'm talking about the reason why now. I never got involved in social justice issues, and both of them situation pulled me into it. I lived in the city of Jackson, Mississippi. There was a young black man attended Jackson Jim Hill High School, where I was to go in a few years. He was on his way home, and he happened to be walking down Lynch Street where Jackson State University was, and the college students, they were protesting the war in Vietnam, and they were protesting some other race issues. The police were called in, and this young man, his name was James Green, 17 years old. He wasn't even there to protest, just trying to get home. Shooting broke out. He started to climb a wall, and he was shot and killed. I heard that. I saw it. I said, you know what? That's this protesting thing. That's not for me. And so, but when what happened to both of them happened, now it's in the midst of my congregation. It's knocking on my door, and I can no longer just react. Now, all of a sudden, I've got to do something about it. So that event in 1970 shaped how I feel, or how I felt about social justice kinds of things. In our text, the lame man is, he's searching for answers. His problem is, no one is listening for questions. Remember I asked earlier, where are you? Searching or listening? All of the people who are passing him by are in a way just like he is. They're just like him, searching for answers. But again, can you imagine living in a world, your world, you've got to look up to everybody for everything and anything that you want. You got to look up, because he's laid daily at the gate. Can you imagine being less fortunate than everybody else? The lame man, the beggars I saw in Rome, are the panhandler that I see at I-30, I-35 and the Inwood overpass, all of them searching for answers. The underserved are searching for answers. Those who are marginalized are searching for answers. Every time there's a police shooting of an unarmed black or brown person in this country, people go to the street protesting because they're searching for, well, what is the answer here? Well, I believe Jesus Christ is the answer. We'll get to that in a minute. But do you know why the world around us looks like a huge, incomplete puzzle? Do you know why Black Lives Matter movement is making so much noise? Do you know why the homeless are still homeless? It's because not enough of us are listening for questions. And watch this. Until each of us individually are able to answer the questions that you're looking, those things that you're trying to understand in your life, you really won't be able to make time to listen for questions. You'll be just like I was in Rome. I wasn't listening for questions while I was there. I was only searching for answers. And let's go now quickly back to the text. There's a couple of things that I want to look at in a couple of minutes here. I'll be going to my seat. In Acts chapter 3 at verse 1, the Bible says, now Peter and John, and I love it how Peter and John are working together. And that's something that we've got to learn how to do. It really bothers me, I have to say this personally, to talk about, you know, black churches and white churches. I have to imagine that when we get to heaven, we'll all be together. And so Peter and John were together, and they went to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. There was this man who had to make his way there the best way that he could. Been lame from his mother's womb, and to get there, somebody had to carry him. To get back home, somebody had to take him. He was there at the gate called Beautiful, and all he wanted was help. A person standing under the bridge, that's all they want, is some help. But you know what I've found and learned is you can give them a dollar, but they really need more than that. They really need more than that. And so this man is here laying daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, asking an alms from those people who are going to church, but it doesn't seem like they're doing much church. But notice what Peter and John did, and this is so beautiful, and I think this is the answer, really. I believe that Jesus is the answer to our problems. Jesus is the answer to our issues. Who's seeing Peter and John, verse 3, about to go into the temple, they asked him. Peter said, we don't have any money. You might say, well, Brother Barry, I don't have any money to help the guy under the bridge. I don't have any whatever, but give him what you do have. Peter said, silver and gold have I none. I do not have. He says, but what I do have, I'll give it to you. he made a most beautiful statement. He said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Jesus, the great example, Jesus, the great counselor, Jesus, the great thou art the Christ. He said, in the name of Jesus, get up and walk. And all of a sudden, the man was able to jump up. He was able to walk. And church, that works. That works. If we'll just offer Jesus Christ to the people that we come in contact with. Now, I'll say to you that there may be some other issues because the man over here under the bridge, he may be so hungry that he can't talk to you about Jesus until he gets some food in his stomach. Or the person who's cold might want a coat before you talk to him about Jesus. But ultimately, Jesus Christ is the answer. So, what Peter was pointing out to this man is, and sometimes we get caught up in this, he says, well, silver and gold, that's temporary stuff. I know you need it when you go to the grocery store, when you go to the mall, you got to have it, but it's temporary. Jesus Christ is the permanent solution. Doesn't matter what your problem, what your questions, what type of answer you're looking for, Jesus Christ, I believe, is the answer. So, Brother Barry, well, what's going on then? Well, I think the problem is this. Too many are reacting. You see, most of us in here, we probably can remember where we were and what we were doing when we heard about Botham being shot. What was your reaction? Up until that point, my reaction would always be, well, that's somebody else's problem. I don't have time for it. But now, all of a sudden, it's in my congregation. I can remember when I was a little boy growing up in Mississippi, when we would hear things on the news, somebody, you know, the evening news, the 6 o'clock news, they come in, and the question that would ask when you hear about somebody getting shot, somebody getting killed, something happened, they would say, well, what color are they? That was our reaction. But what Jesus, I believe, is calling us to, we've got to stop reacting and develop and formulate a loving response to what's going on in our world. The single mother is looking for a loving response. The young man in prison, a loving response. The young girl who's pregnant out of wedlock, a loving response. The person who has gender identity issues, a loving response. A father who's on drugs. And all of the lost souls that are out there, what they need is a loving response. We as a church have to look beyond the barriers, whether it's a racial barrier, a financial, a geographical, or whatever barrier, we've got to look beyond those barriers and provide a loving and an appropriate response. And I also believe in order to do that, we don't have to sacrifice the Bible, the Word of God. We can still teach truth. Are you searching for answers today. Jesus is that answer, no matter what's going on in your life. So if you're here, and you're some of us listening for questions, the vast majority searching for answers. Jesus is that answer. I'd like to offer that. So if you're here and you would desire to come to Jesus, you can do that by hearing Romans 10, 17. Hearing the gospel takes away your interest in sin. Believing it takes away the pleasure of sin. Repentance, the practice of sin. Confession takes away your allegiance to sin. And then you submit to Jesus Christ in baptism, and all of your sins will be washed away. And just as I said earlier, many, many times, sometimes we pat ourselves on the back because we've got a lot of information, Bible knowledge information. I don't want to suggest to you that information without transformation is really no good. People need to see Jesus in our lives. So if you're here, you need Jesus, if we can help you in any way, won't you come right now? Together we stand, and as we sing.